Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Just keep that running, man. 5:05 in St. Louis. The Doobie Brothers brings us back to the Dave Glover Show, along with Bob Ramsey. I'm Mike Claiborne. We've had some fun so far. I had some fun guests. Anya Kane, she's the senior retail reporter for the BusinessInsider.com, gave us some insight on the so-called supply chain shortage. Also, Jessica Ratloff. I enjoy, you know, I just may call her later tonight and keep the conversation going.
What
I
a delight.
Talking to her, and what she does for Glamour has been terrific.
Yeah.
She gave us an insight on a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I think she's going to be a podcast guest on Claves Online.
Can I be on that show?
You certainly may.
Get me on that episode.
Yeah, you're in. Dave Murray, one of our favorite people, well-respected person, and he knows a little bit about weather, too.
DuPont.
Yes. DuPont. We didn't get
into DuPont. If you take away anything from today's show, I have two words for you.
DuPont. And Jeff Rainford kind of shed some light on the whole Rams settlement and how he was on the ground floor when David Peacock and everybody. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I was not on board with how they were trying to get that thing funded. I felt like we could not afford to have any more public money devoted to it. But they were able to put a plan together to get it on the board, and obviously the NFL lied to everybody, and now they're $790 million out of their pocket for it.
Go back in history a few years. Take away – this is just talk show stuff. This is, has no meaning, no value.
You're on the air. Let's go to Bob.
Hey, what if – no, what if they – could have gotten that Riverfront Stadium built and pretend there was not the deceit and treachery of the National Football League, would we be happy now?
That's a great question.
Could they actually do it? And I think Jeff and Peacock probably said, yeah, we had the plan. We were going to do it. But
here was my major issue with the stadium. I think when you build something of that size, and you have to have it for more than 12, 14 days a year between football games and outdoor concerts, you got to have a roof on it. You have to make sure this thing, it grows, you know, along with you. And I just felt like, here we go, going on the cheap again like we did with this dump down the street.
Yeah.
You know, we cut corners on that thing, and it was almost obsolete. It was like buying a car. It depreciated from the day we opened the door.
Right off the lot.
Yeah. So, you know, I just felt like if you're going to go in on something like this, you got to go all in. But in answer to your question, we probably would have been on our third coach by now. I just felt like the infrastructure of an organization is just so key. Starting with ownership and allowing people to do their jobs and having a tradition of how things are run. And I think the two best examples are how the Cardinals and the Blues are run. I mean, you know, we all feel like they're trying. We don't say that, man, they're incompetent. They keep making the same mistakes. They always compete. That was the problem with the Rams. We didn't have that tradition. You had John Shaw involved. You had Jay Zigman. You had this guy, that guy. And you had people that eventually – and now that we've learned, Kroenke purposely tried to run it in the ground so he'd have a reason to move. Just
so
tells you.
So he was not going to be happy.
No.
And so that probably trickles down to the franchise.
Yeah. So the best thing we could have done is convinced him to sell.
Yeah.
Or the league say, all right, Stan, we're going to give you another team, and you can take it to L.A. How about that?
Yeah, that's probably
the only
way.
Would have been a better off at it. But with that said, I want to go back to where we're at now and go back a few months, because I thought, you know, when you hear people say, we should have held out for more. Well, first of all, I think a lot of people were misinformed about what was real and what wasn't. What wasn't real is the fact that we were going to get a team. Why don't we just trade, see if we can get a team? Well, first of all, we didn't have a stadium. We didn't have an owner. We had no real structure whatsoever.
To put any of it together.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know whether you know this or not, $1 billion doesn't get you as far as it used to. Because
I was just telling my wife that the other day when we were balancing the checkbook.
We're thinking about adding some more cable channels. Do you understand what this costs? I mean, so
HBO and Cinemax?
You want both of them?
Are you crazy?
Oh, my goodness. What are you thinking? You don't have that kind of time to watch that kind of TV. You know, I'm just saying.
No.
So, you know, so I guess when I look at it, I think we had some people who were just – they were misinformed, and they kept spreading misinformation.
Well, it took wishful thinking in to a level where you tried to make it seem real, but it really was just wishful thinking.
That's all it was. And it started to frustrate me, because when you go out, hey, we're going to get a team now, huh?
No.
You nuts. You know, I was he was a former good friend that was telling me that a friend of his told him, because he had the inside, the Rams are going to get a team. And I said, there's no way in hell they're going to get a team. You know, because here's the other thing that comes with that. The NFL likes to do things in pairs. So my question is, when you look around the NFL cities, what city is still left to expand to? Think about that. Where it doesn't interfere with the territorial rights. Because somebody would say, well, what about Austin? You think Jerry Jones and McNair are going to let another team come in the state of Texas? Well, what about San Diego? Let's go to San Diego. They wouldn't build a stadium for the team that left.
Mm-hmm.
Portland? You got to be nuts. I mean, so I don't know if there's another city that you can include in the United States. Now, you want to go to Toronto? You want to go somewhere? Okay, good luck. But then again, you lose the TV market. I just didn't think there was another place to go. So, and I didn't think the NFL was going to bend over backwards. Now, you know, you want to take a team to Europe? Yeah, be my guest. So I never thought that was going to fly. And then this whole thing about, well, this could be worth billions. No, it's really not. You know, Stan spent billions on a stadium and everything, but it's not going to be billions to us.
Again, as our guest Jeff Rainford told us, when you go through a trial, you've got to show damages.
Yeah.
Or you have to certainly convince the decision maker. Here are the damages. And to show billions of dollars in damages, they obviously thought was going to be too difficult.
And there aren't billions of dollars at stake here. There aren't billions of dollars in St. Louis, and when it comes to sports, for that matter. So it was just far-fetched. I know people wanted it to be that way, but the realists would tell you, and Jeff said it best, you know, you cut your loss. Well, it's not a loss. I mean, you know, you're $790 million better off today than you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow was no guarantee. And I think, as he mentioned, what do we do next with the money? I think it's very interesting in seeing what's going to happen in the decision makers and how they have to think for the future and what that future looks like. We don't know. We don't know. I think we're done with the NFL. Would you agree?
Yeah.
And I'm good. I you know, when they left, I was like, I'm good.
Yep.
I'm cool. I know NFL teams have an impact, but you know, the late Kim Tucci made a great point, and I started to do the math on it. You'd be better off having more conventions come to St. Louis to make money than to have an NFL team.
There's no question. If you upgrade the convention center and make it the place, make it more than competitive, make it the best convention center, you're going to make way more money for the community.
Yeah, because you think about an NFL team, They have, they'll bring 100, let's just say 120 people total, coaches, whomever, whoever, as many they can fit on the plane. So they're here for one room night. They fly in on Saturday, they leave, they check out Sunday morning, and that's it. So 120 room nights. You have a convention that comes to St. Louis. Maybe they have 3,000, 4,000 people, conventioneers, that are here for, let's say, 4 days. So that's 4,000 room nights, period. I mean, that's minimum 4,000 room nights. So where is the tax money? The tax money is in the conventions. It's not in the NFL. I mean, it's nice to say you have a team, but when you look at dollars and cents in getting things paid for, I'd rather have a convention center.
Well, you and I are sports advocates, and people that have been listening to us, that's what they care about. You're not going to – I mean, it's hard to get excited about the taxidermy convention that's coming in. And so I get that. Oh, you should have seen what I did with that spoonbill. It was amazing.
I did with that platypus, you would not believe.
Crazy. Speaking of that, this is way off topic, but when you said platypus.
Listen, that hadn't changed anything about how
when you said platypus, it made me think of an animal I'd never seen before that I saw in Mexico.
What'd you see?
I don't know the pronunciation.
Dodo bird?
The Akiti or something like that. A big
something?
Rodent.
Oh, really? Oh,
Looked like bigger than some dogs.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
Not a capybara, but looks kind of like it.
I saw something. I was reading an article.
It kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because they're just walking around.
It's a cross between a cat and a raccoon. I was in Mexico.
This thing had no tail.
Yeah.
So, but here was my question. This none of that really matters except.
You want one on your wall? Okay, no, let me write that down and get you that for Christmas. There you go.
Let's talk about, real quickly, rodents.
Take your time.
Rodents.
Will make me clear out of room.
Rabbit, a rodent. Mm. You can eat it.
Eh.
Squirrel is a rodent.
You can shoot it.
You can eat it.
Yeah, you can.
Rat's a rodent. No, thank you.
Nah, pass.
What about the Mexican Akiti? Do you eat it? Do you not eat it? And again, forgive me on the pronunciation.
You know what?
It's big. It looks like the ham hock part of it would be all right.
I'm going to just wait for a shrimp cocktail, if you don't mind. There's got to be one around there somewhere.
And the St. Louis U trainer.
He recognized what it was?
No.
Oh.
He said he saw at the resort a monkey the size of a small child. And that just made me uncomfortable.
You just never know what you see south of the border these days.
It's the jungle.
You know what? And so for those people, for people who haven't gone to some of these resorts in Mexico, and I know exactly where you were at, you go down the road and then they turn off and you literally drive through a jungle and they carve out these areas for these resorts. So there's all sorts of unique vegetation surrounding the resorts. So you don't know what's just going to walk on property because, you know, maybe they hung one over from the night before and get lost and wake up on the beach and there's people standing out there.
I mean, yeah.
It's a very it's a very unique environment, but you're right in the middle of a jungle, and I'm sure there are creatures there that have not been documented.
I'll tell you this.
You won't see them at the zoo. Let's just at the St. Louis Zoo.
Tell you this, I wasn't going to walk anywhere off the property.
There's no reason. There's no reason to.
Stay right there.
Nah, we good right here, Holmes. Mm-hmm. We get the room service going. You know, there's the bar over there, and we're good to go. That's something by the way, we haven't gotten into sports very much, but Missouri is getting pasted right about now. It's 30-9 against Arkansas, and the defense
They are ranked. Arkansas
is
ranked.
Yeah, they are ranked, but it's not supposed to be like this. Missouri's beating themselves. Oh, they just called a holding penalty, so now it's not 30-9. All right. So what should we do now? Take a quick break? We'll take a quick break because this is like our wide open section. We've got a few other things to address. He's Bob Ramsey. I'm Mike Claiborne. Stand by. This is a Dave Glover show or what's left of it. I don't know what he's going to come back to on Monday, but we're doing the best we can with what we have. Hoss Newbert said he thought this was the Game Face show from yesteryear.
We don't change.
Yeah, nothing's changed with us. All right, we'll take a break and come right back. Welcome back, everybody. It is 5:22 on a Friday afternoon, the day after Thanksgiving, where everybody is either out shopping, having a little turkey, some extra stuffing, and everything else. It's just Bob Ramsey and me filling in for Dave Glover this afternoon, and I'm having a good time.
Have you decided what you're going to have for dinner? I know you're going to be out and about.
Weighing, there's a chance either. I'm thinking maybe at Cafe Napoli. I'm thinking Cafe Napoli.
Boy, they do such a good
Andy
job. I got
to call see if I can get a table.
Do such a good job.
I just sit at the bar. And my buddy George Nouri, I think, is still in town, so maybe I'll just meet him over there.
There you go.
So I'm thinking there, or maybe Ruth's Chris because I'm downtown. And I haven't been there. They have a new manager there that I have not met that I've heard great things about. I met his significant the other day, so I'm anxious to meet him. But somewhere I am dining tonight. And tomorrow I've already, because I don't have anything to do tomorrow, I got the greatest turkey sandwich on my mind for tomorrow. I'm just going to sit back and watch some football and whatever else is on, and that's going to be that.
Yeah, when you make your own perfect turkey sand.
Nothing like it.
Nothing
like it. I got to swing by the store. I was going to get some Swiss, but I like this Manchego cheese. You ever had that Manchego from Spain?
Manchego?
Yeah, España, right this way.
No, señor.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. So I made slice up a little of that and put on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, until I try some of that, I'll go with some Swiss, little mayo.
Thinly sliced Swiss. You don't want to make it too thick. You want it to be able to contribute to the sandwich, not dominate it.
I like a big old hunk of cheese. I do. I got to be honest.
Do you drink wine with your cheese, or you just...
I don't drink much wine anymore.
Really? That's all I drink. I'm like wine, water, and protein shakes. That's it.
I like red wine, but it doesn't like me. It affects my reflux too much.
Well, I drink red wine. Well, I don't drink and drive to the point where I'm, blind, staggering, stinking drunk or anything like that. But red wine has a different effect on me than a nice Chardonnay. Nice oaky flavored, buttery Chardonnay. I can drink that, and it makes me mellow. Cause I like being happy. You know, some people when they drink, they're like, "What are you looking at?" That's not me. That's not me. You know, I mean, you've been around that person who gets aggressive, and you're like, "What, dude? What's the problem?" That's not me.
No.
But when if I'm with my significant, and she's driving, and when I've had that one, she'll like put the cutoff on, and when she has a code word for me to let me know, okay, we're done here. Rollo. She says, okay, Rollo. And then when she says that, all right, I'm done. Here's
the
keys.
Put the cork in it.
Exactly, yeah. So that's why she does a lot more driving when we go out than I do.
Yeah, I end up doing the driving these days.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You haven't had to throw Jen over your shoulder to strap her in.
Pretty close. Pretty close a couple times. Autumn in the... There are so many marvelous wineries.
There, you know what? And that's something I didn't do a lot of this year that I really
We
I
did
really
a couple, two, three times.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you know, when you do that, you need to get a bus or have somebody take you.
Yeah.
So, for instance, our buddy Ed Curtis.
Yeah.
Got married. Had a wonderful wedding at the Fox Theater. Nice sit-down dinner. It was a black tie affair. I was rocking it. I might have, you never want to outdress the groom.
But I think
Ed might have been tied for first that night.
Okay.
Custom fitted tuxedo, rocking some Jordans, the Jordan 11s. I was rocking. Anyway, food was outstanding. The wine was terrific. I had a car service take us.
That's good.
Yeah, because I didn't want to have anything happen in my tuxedo. And it was the best thing. And I know other people who do it as well. Car service is the best thing to have at this time of the year.
Yeah.
It's a couple of bucks, but you know what? It's better than...
the alternative if things go
exactly,
south.
Exactly. So for all you folks who are thinking about the holiday season, think about that as well, because those things are very important because we want you around the next day. We also want you around on the other side of this break because the news is coming up. We'll update you on some sports. Blues lose in overtime against the Blackhawks. I don't know what's going on with that because the Hawks aren't that good. And Missouri's having a problem. They're losing 27-9 with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That's not going well. But the big news of the day, basketball-wise, was Kansas and Dayton had a chance to play each other in one of the holiday tournaments, and it didn't go well for the Jayhawks.
It did not. Not only did they not cover what it looked like was going to happen for sure, they lost straight up and at a shot at the buzzer by the Dayton Flyers, who, by all accounts, figured to have a mediocre to poor year, but who knows, something like this jumpstarts them.
We'll take it. You know, let me ask you, you said cover. Have you noticed how more prevalent that is in our sports society, covering games? We see it in fantasy football. We don't care about team. I just care about my players. That's something that 10 years ago wasn't as out there as it is now. And I don't know.
I think it's always been there, but I think the key part of your phrase is out there, where the public is talking about it.
Well, the bettors, the betting companies now have a footprint in professional sports. I mean, they're naming stadiums and arenas and everything else after them, so they have a footprint.
It's not looked at as a vice anymore.
Exactly. I remember when Bowie Kuhn kept Willie Mays out of he didn't keep him out of baseball, but he wouldn't let him work at a casino as a greeter because he thought it was going to be detrimental to the game. Give me a break. All right, we're going. Speaking of one, I'm going to take one right now because we've got the news coming up. Michael Calhoun is still here, I presume. All right, so we'll find out what's going on in the world of news. I talked to him earlier. He said it wasn't much going on, but we'll find out if anything's changed since then. So stick around. We've got another half hour of the Dave Glover Show. He's Bob Ramsey. I'm Mike Claiborne in Missouri. Just gave up another touchdown, or it's pretty close. Yep, they just gave up another one. Take it away. 5:35, welcome back. Last 25 minutes of the Dave Glover Show for this Friday. Dave, we apologize, man. We were trying. We did the best we could with what we had to work with, but we had a good time doing it. Hey, we haven't talked much sports today, and rightfully so. We kind of talked about a whole bunch of other stuff. So Missouri's getting their hat handed to them today. They're going to finish the season at 6-6. Now, they are, quote, bowl eligible. But are they really a bowl team? Especially when you – the last game they're going to see you at, you get beat by Arkansas, nationally ranked 25th. But this is not a good showing.
I will defer to you. One thing I've learned in the last 36 years is neither Missouri fans nor St. Louis University fans want to hear my opinion about the University of Missouri Columbia.
You know what? I think I'm in that category, too, where there's been a few people over the years. Well, you don't like us anyway. Yeah. I'm just being I don't have any skin in the game. I don't have any kids to go there. I didn't go there. I don't care. And that's the fun thing about it.
I'll tell you this. I think the 6-win eligibility thing is kind of a joke.
I think I agree with you. I think that you're rewarding mediocrity because you're a 6-win team, that means you're probably 6-5, or 6-6 rather, which means you're a 500 team. Now, some people would say, well, they do it in the other sports, where, you know, you get teams with an under 500 record to get in the playoffs. Yeah, that's true, too. But I'm just not enamored with it. I think that...
You know what? If you're, you've got six games, you make a bowl, and then you complain it because it's the iodine bowl or something. You know, oh, we just went to the iodine. Well, then why'd you go?
Why'd you go?
Or why have it?
Mm-hmm.
So
here's the other thing that goes with that. You're a 500 team, and you're right. You're griping about a bowl that you probably shouldn't be in.
The Independence Bowl, as a former resident of Shreveport, I take umbrage. Although you're not wrong, I just take umbrage anyway.
Just saying.
Yeah.
But I think there were some things that were good about the season, but here's the other thing that goes into that. Of your six wins, you had three blood donors you beat. Who are your conference wins? You beat Vanderbilt, nobodies. You beat Florida. Their coach got fired because he lost, four or five in a row. And who was the other conference win? I can't think of who it was. And then the other ones, you beat SEMO. You beat the other team you brought in on opening day, Western or Central Michigan or whatever Michigan it was. And it was somebody else you had no business playing. So I'm not sure what you gained out of this year. Beatty had a really good year, but as I mentioned to somebody, I said those 200-yard, who was it?
It was South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay, another team that's floundering. They're going to watch postseason on TV also. So you didn't beat anybody that's going anywhere. And when you look at Beatty, who he's having a good year. You can't take that away from him. But he's putting 200 yards up against teams that probably shouldn't be on the schedule. Against Florida, he played well. There were a couple of SEC teams he played well against, but his big numbers came against teams that weren't very good. So, I'm not sure what that says about where we're headed with this thing. But I'm for one saying, at 6-6 in this display today, I think it'll be hard for them to find a team or a bowl that will take them. They don't draw well in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
They don't travel well. So I'm not sure what the incentive would be for someone to say, let's go bring Missouri in because they do this, and that. They don't do any of that. Mm-hmm. They don't have a dynamic player. You know, Beatty's, you know, going to be one of the top rushers, but he's not what I would deem dynamic. So, yeah, I'd like to see him play another game. I'm not sure if somebody's going to offer him another game. I got some kind of frog in my throat today. I don't know where it came from. What other sports do we want to discuss? It was something else that came out.
Cardinals,
yeah. Steven Matz picked him up.
I like it.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I thought people were a little bit dismissive of Jake Woodford. I thought he did a very nice job and is going to be a good pitcher.
I thought Woodford made some adjustments along the way. And I don't know what fans look for anymore in players. If he doesn't throw 98.
I think the kid can pitch.
Yeah, that's the key, Bob. He can pitch. Now, here's my problem with a lot of pitchers today. None of them know how to pitch out of trouble because they're never around long enough. They go through the order twice and they get them out after the fifth or sixth inning. I need getting guys who can give me innings. I don't need you to go through the order twice. I need you to go through the order three times. I need you to be able to make sure that I have a bullpen by June. And that's what got San Diego in trouble last year. San Diego Padres, they burned that bullpen to a crisp before Mother's Day or Father's Day. And you know what? It cost them. It cost them the playoffs.
And it cost a couple teams in the playoffs,
too.
They
did. They ran. When you think about the Dodgers and how Dave Roberts ran guys out, he didn't have a choice. But when your guy Max Scherzer says, I got nothing, and as tough and as game as he is for him to raise his hand – that tells you that, you know what, you run your pitching into the ground. But that comes from upstairs more than what managers do these days.
And those guys upstairs trying to reinvent the game.
Can't do it.
You can't make guys be something they're not just because the numbers say.
No. But getting back to Matz, I think he fits the description of what the Cardinals are looking for. Now, the question is, what do you do with Reyes? What do you do with – well, we don't know what Hicks is going to offer. You got to have a deeper bullpen than what you had last year. Where would this team be if it wasn't for Wade LeBlanc, Luis Garcia, guys who nobody else wanted? They came in here, and when LeBlanc was healthy, he gave him a chance. Luis Garcia was really good when you needed him. You know, what are you going to do about guys like that? Does that make your bullpen deeper because of Matz? I'll go on the record right now and tell you that starting five rotation won't give you – each one of them won't give you 30 starts. Somebody's going to get
hurt. Yeah, that's just the nature of the game.
Exactly, yeah. So it's one of those things – I'd rather be top-heavy in pitching going into spring training because you're going to need every swinging arm you can find before this is over.
Yeah, you have to.
And but they still have some things still to be done on this roster. I still think you need a left-handed bat. I think you need another veteran on the bench. You know, to try and make a 23 or 24-year-old kid come in and be a super sub, it's nice. It's nice to have. But, man, I need a veteran who can.
It's hard for me. It's hard for me. Yeah, it's hard for me to find a fit as I look around.
It is.
The Cardinals will. Mo's always done a good job of that. But I can't figure out who it is right now.
He's somebody we're not thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the other thing, as this collective bargaining agreement is near its end, I would like to see, and I know teams don't want to spend money on that veteran, I think there should be some sort of exception to what a luxury tax or whatever, where you can put a guy on the roster for a certain amount of money that's a veteran to keep him around. Because pretty soon we're going to have kids teaching kids how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen from some kids and some organizations, I don't want that kid teaching my kid. Because I'll give you a good example. San Diego, their minor leagues, they don't even teach guys how to advance runners. I mean, you think about how many games we've seen where the Cardinals played small ball and moved a runner along. That's because they teach it. But you get other teams that say, well, here's how I'm going to move the runner. I'm going to try and swing for the fences.
I don't want them to change because I want to beat them.
Yeah. Hey, you guys keep that up over there.
Mike, one time I asked Mike Shannon, if I misquote him, I don't want to put words in his mouth. We were talking about just baseball in the 60s and that sort of thing, and talking about how many good players the Giants had. And he goes, they never won, though. He goes, because they didn't play the game right.
You're right. He said countless times.
He said other than Willie Mays, who was not credited for being as smart a player as he was, but as an organization, so they didn't play the game right.
They just wanted to swing the bat.
Yeah.
They fundamentally were deficient in a lot of areas. But, man, you know what? When you got Mays on your team, you got a chance.
Right.
But they didn't have enough of those. And they had talented players. I mean, you had Mays, McCovey.
But you still have to play the game the right way.
And I know what people say, well, what's the right way? Well, you know what?
It's the right way? Well, yeah. It's the way I like it. I thought that was clear. Did I not state that properly?
You were speaking kind of fast.
Sorry.
Maybe you lost a couple of guys.
Yeah, it's the way I like it.
But I think more than anything else, the fundamentals of doing the little things, advancing a runner, knowing how to take a pitch, working a count, doing things that we just don't see as much. And I know that it's enticing to see guys swing for the fences because all these ballparks are basically the same. There's no aura about, well, you know, you got to really be a slugger to swing in this park. The new ballparks are all very hitter-friendly, and I think they're going to even be friendlier. I think you're going to see some teams maybe move the fences in a little bit more.
Doesn't look like the Cardinals are going to. I mean, it's starting to get late without.
Yeah,
you
know.
Better get a guy out with some quick creep from Lowe's out there to.
Yeah, that was the rumor that they were going to move him in.
I haven't heard of any construction crews.
I haven't heard about anybody picking up a pickaxe or anything like that to try and knock the wall down. But I think it's something that we're going to see more because, you know, people like offense. They're trying to do things. If you want offense, then teach guys how to hit better. It's not about home runs all the time.
I found I didn't even realize it until all the work defensive shifting had become such a topic. And everybody loves the home run, right?
Yeah.
I do too. But you know what? I love the double. Give me a guy that's going to hit me 40, 45 doubles. I don't know, you know, and I know the numbers tell me, well, I got a guy who can give me a run with one swing. I get it.
I absolutely get it. I got a guy who can go from first to third twice a night.
I'm just telling you, I prefer it. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying that's my preference. Give me guys like Michael Brantley and Tommy Edman.
See, that's the guy that got away.
I said it at the time.
That's the guy that got away.
I don't blame people for not listening to me, but if you did.
By the way, we didn't talk about this, but I think we agreed on it. I thought Brandon Crawford was the MVP.
Yeah, that was my vote.
Yeah, mine too. Not because he always found a way to kill the Cardinals, although they shut him down a couple of games where he had runners in scoring position, didn't move a runner.
He's the through line on their season.
Yeah, but he was the most consistent guy on the best team in baseball. How you give it to somebody else, I don't know.
It's a vote. I don't care. I'm just telling you who I vote for. I'm not trying to convince anybody.
No,
he's my guy.
You know what? I convinced myself, and that's good enough.
Yeah.
Here's another one for you. I'm of the belief with the Hall of Fame, and you can pick it. If you were a card-carrying member of your voting block covering an athlete, pick the sport, I think the voting should be weighted. If you were a card-carrying guy and you covered a guy and he's up for voting, he's on the ballot, I think your vote should count more than a guy who's writing for youknowwho.com and all of a sudden he gets the same vote you get. And he never saw that person we're talking about play.
Not that anybody would be this way. But I would be concerned about homerism.
Yeah.
Not that any writer we've ever known wouldn't be completely objective. And I'd say that tongue-in-cheek, you know, somebody like Derek Gould is beyond reproach. But
Rick Cummins is beyond reproach.
But other folks we've seen in the business.
Well, and here, the other thing that goes into that, too, on the other side of that coin, is if he's not a good guy and maybe you didn't like him or you had a run in and you want to stick it to him,
might not get my vote.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I'm a person, not a robot.
I tell you what was amusing about, remember how Barry Bonds used to put on that PR campaign near the end of his career to be more touchy-feely and nice guy?
Yeah.
You know, it didn't work. although this is the last time he's on the ballot. So you got him, Clemens, Schilling, and Sammy Sosa last time on the ballot. Do either any of them get in?
Gosh, I don't know. Again, you're asking to predict what voters will vote. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't. Baseball writers, they're a different breed, but they're going to, I mean, can't predict presidential elections, much less predict this.
I agree. Let's take a final break. We'll come back and wrap things up. What do we have coming up after this?
We'll
tell you when we come back right after this on KMOX. .553 here on KMOX, the Dave Glover Show. And what do we have coming up in the next hour?
The Anatomy of the Cardinals with Kevin Wheeler.
Oh, that's why I just saw Kevin.
Maybe not.
Anyway, it'll be good because
some portions of our programming are pre-recorded. Any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the description accounts of this game without the express written consent of the St. Louis Cardinals National Baseball Club. Remember that?
Yes. You know what?
It was a long time ago.
I got to tell you, and you've done Cardinal games too. I think the first time I read the disclaimer, and just like as you mentioned, all those years we used to hear it, you were like, damn, I made it.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm doing.
Absolutely. No question about it.
I think you read that more than you read anything else in the course of a career.
Yeah.
And, in fact, National League Baseball Club. That's right.
For those who don't know, the rights holder for Billiken basketball is Learfield.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own recorded one.
I heard that the other night.
I kind of wish I was doing the disclaimer.
Well, we can get that changed.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I know
people. You know people.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anybody over there, but I get to know somebody. Somebody's going to get to know me. Let's put it that way. By the way, I enjoyed listening the other night from Mexico.
See?
You and Earl. Yeah. Bueno, mi amigo. Yeah,
gracias. Yeah. Muchas gracias.
De nada. Yeah. There you have it, folks.
That's it.
Spanish 101 for us tonight. Missouri, Tyler Beatty rushes. He breaks the record for Missouri as far as rushing is concerned. Missouri loses, but Beatty rushes for over 200 yards.
My
Congratulations
goodness.
To him and what he was able to do. So what does that say? You have a guy that's the all-time leading rusher. He rushed for how many? I think he had 4 200-yard games this year.
It's crazy.
And you're 6-6. What went wrong? I think we know the defense.
You got to tackle somebody.
Yeah, you got to tackle somebody. And just when you thought the defense was coming around, you had one like today that was not very good. But you know what? They've got a chance to figure it out. They're going to have some more players coming in next year. I'm an Eli Drinkwitz fan. I think he's moving it in the right direction. But, you know, this is a competitive sport. College football is more competitive. The transfer portal has made it even more interesting. So we'll see who he's able to bring in and turn this program around, or at least move it in the right direction.
Yeah, people who know him, rather than just trying to observe from the sideline, people who know him are hardcore fans. Anybody who meets him is hooked that he's the guy.
Yeah, and you know what? This year, I think, was a learning year for him coaching-wise because he had to fire coach, you know, during the season. He had to make some adjustments.
Yeah.
I think maybe he stayed with some people too long and maybe didn't give some other people enough of a chance. But you know what? That's what coaching's all about. You live and you learn. So hopefully he learned from it and takes some good things away that we'll be ready for next year.
Especially in football when you have such a big staff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the toughest things and most important things for a new coach is assembling the staff, the people
Absolutely.
That are going to help make or break you.
Absolutely. We're out of time. The man says we have to go. Hey, we've enjoyed this today. I always love working with you. We had a great time. But more importantly, we thank our listeners and all of our guests, especially our new friend, Jessica Ratloff.
Especially Jessica.
She's our new best friend. We're out of time. Have a great rest of your weekend. Glover back on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.